Let's go ahead and resume then. The time is 3:22 p.m. The next item on our agenda is 2007-2008 number 76, just cause for employee discharge or suspension. Mr. Gruskin, I think you likewise are representing proponents here, and perhaps we could see if there are any, well, if you have any general comments or if there's questions from the board.
Mr. Chairman, this is a version of number 62 that the board has already had some extensive proceedings on. I believe that what this measure does is clarify certain things that were maybe relegated to interpretation by making them clear, and in that regard makes it clear that governmental employees are not subject to these provisions. It makes it clear that the other specifics that we took care of that were concerned with the board, I call the governmental issue being the primary one. And we've expanded some definitions to provide that kind of clarity. But by and large, this is a measure that poses a just cause requirement for employment actions.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Gruskin? If not, then let's turn to the question of whether the measure complies with the single subject requirement. Mr. Friednash, you're signed up. Would you like to comment on the single subject issue?
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. Doug Friednash, Fairfield Woods. This measure appears to be somewhat of a cleanup of the other Just Cause initiative that you've already heard. I'm not clear on what the purpose of this measure is, but it clearly will eliminate at-will employment to certain economic relationships. It appears to apply to certain employers. A private employer that has 20 or more employees, that where the employees have worked for a consecutive 6 months and that are full-time employees. It clearly applies to those situations. It does not apply to governmental entities. It's unclear what nonprofit corporations it applies to or doesn't apply to. Part-time employees, and I don't know what, and again, this goes in the Colorado Constitution, so this is not something that legislature can fix. I don't know how full-time employees are defined or part-time employees. I don't know if you can get around this by having a 39-hour employee instead of a 40-hour employee. Somebody who's been working there less than 6 months also it doesn't apply to. And when you read the title, and I'll get to this in a second, the title doesn't delineate what kind of employment relationship this applies to, and I think it needs to, and we can get to that on the next aspect of it, but clearly people are going to be surprised by how this applies to. My understanding is that it has also exempted out bona fide collective bargaining agreements. I don't know what constitutes a bona fide collective bargaining agreement. That's not in the title. It doesn't explain what just cause is in this bill title. And it doesn't really go into the process for challenging the determination period. Now, I think the different single subject piece comes into it is that it's related to just cause for employee discharge or suspension. Again, it's a very broad title for what is actually encompassed by it. It's a much more narrow grouping of scenarios where this actually applies to it. I think when you deal with constitutional rights and how certain things are applied by them, whether you have a right to contract, I understand that. And I think you need clarification today. I know it's been asserted, I believe, in the review and comment meeting, that employers would still have the right to contract with employees and waive these policies. I think that's probably void against public policy. But these are constitutional pieces that I think create separate subjects that are different in terms of how it applies and the constitutional impact of these measures. But the next piece, which I think is even more profound, is the fact that the bill title is misleading, and it's going to be very confusing. And I think voters will be really surprised to learn how this actually applies. And I think those are some of the fundamental problems with this measure.
Thank you. Let me ask, you did identify a number of questions about the measure, questions about how to interpret specific aspects of the measure. It wasn't clear to me exactly what your single subject objection is. Can you either identify the different subjects that you see, or are you saying instead that the measure is simply so unclear that it's impossible to identify a single subject?
I think it's the latter. It's so unclear that it's virtually impossible to identify what that subject is.
Okay. Are there questions for Mr. Friednash? Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to testify on the question of whether the measure complies with the single subject requirement? Seeing none, I'll turn to board discussion on that issue.
Well, this seems to have addressed most, if I remember correctly, we all voted the previous version of this was a single subject. If anything, I think this is because it clears up some of the potential implications that were suggested to be additional subjects, such as creation of this mediation or arbitration regime and affecting the civil service system. Those have been cleared up, I think, in this version. The only potential concern that I still have is this right to contract issue, which I do wish the measure would say one way or the other whether people could contract around this. But the fact that it doesn't is not to me enough to make it so unclear as to be impossible to set a title for. It's just one of those things that'll have to be worked out in litigation or perhaps implementing legislation. And so I'm pretty comfortable with this as a single subject.
And I think I am too. I think Mr. Friednash did identify some questions, but as Mr. Domenico said, I don't see them as questions that suggest that the measure is so unclear that we can't set a title. I think there is a single subject here, so I think I would support the measure with respect to single subject.
I'd agree with that, Mr. Chairman, and it seems to me that that one way of looking at the overall purpose of the measure is it's to prohibit an employer from discharging or suspending an employee without first establishing just cause for the discharge or suspension. That seems to me to be the overall purpose of the measure. A couple of the outcomes I think that we've talked about here is that it does impact employment at will, replaces it with a kind of a just cause standard, and it also gives employees a cause of action against an employer who does a discharge or suspension without establishing just cause. But all those seem to me to be germane to the subject, and I think there is a single subject. And I also concur that I don't feel that this is a measure that it rises to the level of where it's so non-understandable that the board can't set a title for it.
Is there a motion on the single? I'll go ahead and move the board find that the measure comprises a single subject and proceed to set a title.
I'll second that motion.
Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Then let's turn to the staff draft, and Ms. Gomez is displaying the staff draft on the screen in the room. Mr. Gruskin, have you had an opportunity to look at the staff draft, and do you have any comments?
I'd like to share my written comments with you, Mr. Chairman. And frankly, as I pondered this a little bit, I'm not really sure I'm prepared to defend one of them. I think that the board made a different change that I'd like to explain. On lines 2 and 3, I think that allusions to several definitions are not nearly as important as the substance of those definitions. And specifically, it seems to me that the language that I've inserted on lines 5, 6, and 7 specify those exemptions that apply because of the definitions necessarily, than the fact that you have to have 20 employees. If you're a nonprofit, you have to have more than 1,000, and governmental entities are exempted. I suppose you could also include non-full-time or part-time employees and the employees covered by a bona fide collective bargaining agreement. It just seemed to me to be getting a little long there, but I'm certainly not adverse to adding that level of detail. The one change for which I have to apologize to the board is on line 8, where I say defining just cause. As I recall now, that issue came up in connection with number 62, and the board felt that there was some description of just cause that was more appropriate. And I think it related to substandard job performance and then a couple of the conditions that are specified at the end of the definition. And I would certainly have no problem using that model. I would note only for the board that the last element has changed somewhat. It's no longer a percentage cutoff, but it is in fact a factor that relates to specific economic circumstances that directly and adversely affect the employer. So that probably would need to be. I think other than that, the staff draft is largely fine and would suggest. I've stricken on lines 11 and 12 the reference to the right of appeal, which in addition to the mediation issue was one that came up last time. While the right of appeal is expressly in there, it doesn't strike me as a central provision. That's why I've stricken it. I can't imagine that people would be surprised that there's a right of appeal from a district court.
Thank you. I do like these changes generally, and I also would like to include something about the definition of just cause, as we did in the case of number 62. So at some appropriate time, I'll probably offer that motion. But I think in general it's helpful to eliminate from the staff draft the language that just says defining, specified terms. And I agree with Mr. Gruskin. I don't think we need to say that the decision can be appealed. Mr. Friednesh, would you like to comment on the staff draft or Mr. Gruskin's suggested changes?
Yeah, thank you. I think the more detail, the better. I think it makes sense. I think his changes are an improvement. I do think it should indicate that they need to be there within 6 consecutive months, that they're full-time employees, I think. The change with regard to just cause is important because otherwise just cause is somewhat of a catchphrase, and I think identifying, you know, the economic circumstances, particularly as falling within the scope of just cause, is helpful to the voter. Again, a fundamental problem is the issue of the right to contract, whether or not it's their intent to allow that. But in either event, it's not addressed here because it's a constitutional amendment. My fear is that the courts will look at the plain language of this and not allow employers to contract with employees because it would be against public policy and it wasn't provided for in this. And I think that is a fatal error to this.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to comment on the staff draft or the suggestions made by Mr. Gruskin? Then I'll turn to board discussion. Ms. Gomez, I think, has started incorporating into the staff draft on the screen the changes made or suggested by Mr. Gruskin. And I think that would be a good starting point. I guess I would, unless there's an objection from a board member, I would like for her to go ahead and incorporate those so we can take a look at that and discuss those. I would suggest not, unless another board member wants to do this, I would suggest not incorporating the phrase defining just cause, because I think I'd like to propose providing more there like we did for number 62.
I agree, and I actually would recommend putting it earlier in the title too.
In the case of number 62, we put it right after the prohibition that begins on line nine, line three, I mean, as I recall.
Yeah, I would put it on line four, just after we say establish just cause, then I would say defining just cause to include whatever we said before.
And I think
that, of course, for the slightly different.
I think language. That's consistent with what we did on number 62, and I think I have a proposal. When Ms. Gomez is ready, I think she's still got a couple of more changes to make to incorporate Mr. Gruskin's suggestions. And then I guess then I'll, as Mr. Domenico suggested, then in line four, before the word requiring, after the semicolon, insert defining, quote, just cause, end quote, to mean specified types of employee misconduct and substandard job performance, comma, substandard job performance. Comma, the filing of bankruptcy by the employer, comma, or, and here's where it'll be a little different, so this may take some polishing, or documented economic circumstances that directly and adversely affect the employer, semicolon,
brilliant.
Thank you. And if that doesn't match, okay, I'm getting affirmative nods from Mr. Gruskin. And if again, Ms. Gomez, I think, has incorporated the other suggestions of Mr. Gruskin, don't think I have any other changes. Mr. Domenico?
I have a couple of little things, not related really to what we've just done, but so if we're ready to kind of move on.
Maybe we'll just for the sake of efficiency, just keep going and at some point do a motion to adopt these changes.
Yeah. All right, well, the simplest is, since Mr. Gessler's not here to be the grammarian, I think on lines 8 and 9, instead of less, it should be fewer in both cases. Moving on to slightly more complex issues. On line 3 and 4, is it really necessary to say by an employer? I mean, isn't who else can discharge or suspend an employee?
Makes sense to me to drop
that. The other way to write it might be, if you want to make it clear that this is kind of imposing something on employers, would be prohibiting employers from discharging or suspending an employee. If either of those would be an improvement, I think.
I agree. I don't have a preference between the two.
Well, I would probably just delete it then. The three words by an employer.
I support that.
Two.
The only other comment I had was in response to an issue that Mr. Gruskin actually raised a little bit himself and Mr. Friednash also mentioned, which is whether we need to explain that this only applies to certain employees, full-time employees who've been employed for at least 6 consecutive months. I'm not sure. I mean, we could pretty easily include the full-time concept simply by on line 3 in front of and change an, I guess, to a full-time employee would be a pretty succinct way of including the full-time concept if we think it's necessary. If we wanted to include both of those concepts that are in, I guess, B1 or just B1 and 2, I think you'd have to say something like prohibiting the discharge or suspension of an employee who has been a full-time
employee for at least 6 consecutive months and is not covered by a bona fide collective bargaining agreement. I think you start getting into a bit of a mess if you do much more than that. Full-time seemed easy enough to include that it may not be a problem. I just bring that up for discussion.
I don't have any strong feelings about it one way or the other. I agree that it would be fairly easy to say full-time, and you know, we start to get into more details that I don't know that we need to cover, but and I just don't feel strongly about it one way or the other.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose that
the title as it is fulfills our duty, but I don't know if we could do a slightly better job by making it a little bit more detailed. And whether those limitations on the employees that this applies to is material is just really sort of hard for me to judge. I mean, I guess I could see some individuals out there who are part-time employees or who would not be covered by this voting for it and then maybe being surprised that when it passes that it doesn't apply to them. On the other hand, I could sort of see people who could vote against it because they think it's too broad and should include some limitations like are in fact included. So there may be kind of on both sides of the equation a sense that there's something missing there, but I don't know whether it really rises to the level of materiality. Probably not enough that I would vote against it if it didn't include some of that, but I just raise it as a possibility.
And I guess I appreciate you raising it and getting it out there on the table, because I too am not sure that it rises to the level of materiality. I guess at this point I'm comfortable not going to that level of detail. But I appreciate the discussion.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with the way it is. I probably would be most persuaded about adding full time in there, but I think I'm okay with it as is. I guess do you have another suggestion?
No, that's all I've got.
I'd like to raise the question of whether we need the last clause. That says authorizing the General Assembly to enact legislation to facilitate the purposes of this amendment. I frequently don't remember very clearly our precedent on things, but is that really helpful or necessary to point out? Is it a significant feature?
I think we've left it out in the past when that type of statement has been included. So if you wanted to delete it.
I think we've usually left it out, although I just noticed, having just said that in number 62 we did keep it in. So maybe we are perfectly inconsistent. But I just, again, it doesn't seem like anything that would be too surprising. I think that would be the general rule of a constitutional amendment, that legislature can fill in gaps and facilitate the purposes of a constitutional amendment. I guess I'll, just for the sake of discussion, I would suggest that we drop that phrase.
I'll move that suggestion.
And then I'll second that. And then we would need to insert an and. Yes. Delete that, and then I'm not sure where the and goes then, but preceding the last remaining clause.
13 preceding allowing.
Yeah, just before the last. Yeah.
Yes, I think at the end of line 12. in the beginning of line 13. Okay. Actually, we haven't done any motions yet. Mr. Carton, I think your motion was to make that change, but maybe we'll just, if you want to withdraw your motion.
I'll withdraw it.
And I'll withdraw the second and have one motion that covers, it sounds like there's some consensus so far on the changes that have been made, so I'll have one motion that covers everything. Mr. Carton.
Did you, I had one other item. Mr. Chair, did you want to talk about that now, or did you want to go?
Sure. Let's go ahead and see if we can dispose of all of the issues.
And I know it's late in the day, and the other two board members have been here since 8:30, but I just wanted to very quickly revisit the statement of the single subject in the staff draft, which is concerning just cause for action against an employee by an employer. And when I looked at that again, and I know, and it's my recollection that that is the statement of the single subject for number 62. And to cut to the chase, what I wondered was whether or not it would be clearer to simply state an accurate statement of the single subject to, instead of saying just cause for action against an employer by an employer, basically move the language that appears on lines 3 and 4 up, and so up to the statement of the single subject, so it would say an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning a prohibition on the discharge or suspension of an employee unless the employer has first established just cause. And in connection there with defining just cause to mean specified types of employee misconduct. I just wanted to put that out there for board discussion, because when I looked at concerning just cause for action against an employee by an employer, you know, to me that didn't send a message about discharge or suspension. And I know we'd have a discharge or suspension in the title, but if we ever got to the, you know, if the board wanted to even to kind of address the suggestion, I guess I'd advocate that it'd be appropriate to go ahead and have that conjunctive there. That's my suggestion.
Well, to begin with, I think this is the single subject we had in 62, but I think the language in 62 was closer to what we've got here. I don't think it specifically limited itself in the way this one does. My recollection is that the lead-in in 62 was closer to this language, in that it said an employer may not take action against an adverse action or something like that against an employer. It was probably why we used that language. And so I don't think we need to worry about doing something different here, because my recollection is 62 is a little bit different, and that's the starting point. The specific suggestion you made, I'm not sure I understood it exactly, but if the suggestion was simply to say an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning requiring just cause for
no, it would have been concerning, drop down to line 3, a prohibition on the discharge or suspension of an employee unless the employer has first established just cause. That's it.
I see. Well, then we get back to the same discussion we just had, where I have a bit of a problem stating the single subject that way, that is, as a noun, and then not also including the action that's being taken in that sense after the in connection therewith language. So my suggestion is, if we're going to do something like that, it should be similar to what we did previously, and it would be something more like an amendment to the Colorado Constitution prohibiting the discharge or suspension of an employee by an employer unless the employers first establish just cause, and then I would just go straight through it as is, but then you don't have in connection therewith, which was the problem last time. Your problem, not mine.
I hear you. Aside from that, I'm just wondering if there's a better way to state the single subject than just cause for action against an employee by an employer.
Well, is the, okay.
That's all.
Is the problem that you have with that the use of action, that's kind of unclear means?
Yeah, I guess the problem that I have with it is that I don't think that it conveys to the reader what the purpose of the measure is, what the subject of the measure is, as it would if you put up front that it's prohibiting the discharge or suspension of an employee. Just cause for action against an employee, you know, I think it worked in 62, it can work here. It's fine, it's very legal, it's very cloudy. As opposed would be my argument to just stating prohibiting the discharge or suspension of an employee unless the employer has first established just cause, because to me that's the single subject. But it is late in the day, and I just wanted to put that out there, because when the more I looked at concerning just cause for action against an employee by an employer, I thought we could do better.
I do think that's a little bit odd, and I thought one thing we could consider is just removing just from that part of it, since that's kind of a term of art, I think, and given that it has two very different meanings, one meaning fair or reasonable, I guess, and the other one meaning only or some sort of minimization of what's coming after. If you don't already know what this is about, and you're not a labor lawyer, you may not know that in reading the subject that just in that sense is tied in with the idea of justice rather than trying to limit for some reason what comes after it. And so cause, if you just say cause in the first part, avoids that potential trouble. Still accurately captures what's going on. And doesn't really resolve the rest of your concerns, but I do think improves it a little bit, since we later say, you know, get more specific. It gets much more specific after the in connection therewith clause. I don't know if that does anything to resolve the problems you had, but it was something that I thought about on this and on 62.
And I think I would be okay with removing the word just so that it's the expression of the single subject is cause for action against an employee. I think we probably, it is a kind of an awkward phrase, you know, action against an employee, and I think we probably got there, at least speaking for myself, because it's discharge or suspension, and we again, faithful allegiance to trying to express a single subject, we always risk something when we put a conjunction in, as if there were two different things. You know, as in reality, I think this is an example where discharge or suspension actually is one thing. I'm comfortable with that this is not a violation of single subject, but I think we were simply trying to improve the appearance of the expression of single subject by not including a conjunction. You know, I'm okay with the way it is, just because we pretty quickly, it's a very short statement where we pretty quickly then elaborate by saying what the prohibition is.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I would
well,
prefer.
I appreciate it.
What if we changed concerning to requiring? Yeah, that. Does a little bit, I think, to clarify.
I mean, my, you know, again, my concern not surprisingly, is once we start using the ing, you know, actions, we might as well just go ahead and say an amendment prohibiting the discharge or suspension of an employee, and kind of skip over a subject and state the main thing that the measure is doing. But I sort of lost that battle last time, so I'm prepared for the worst on this one.
Well, I mean, I think Mr. Carton said he thought it would be an improvement, essentially, to do that, and I think I agree. Although, if...
Or...
Well...
73?
I don't know. I can't keep track of the numbers.
The first one.
I think my first preference would be to do what we did on the last one and just skip over trying to use the concerning in connection therewith language. Well, actually, my first choice would be to go beyond what we did on the last one and just say, basically, cut out everything from concerning up to prohibiting on line 3 and just start right there. I think that expresses the thing. I think the single subject is in there. It's right at the front. I think the problem we're having is that what we want to do to be clear and accurate and express what's really going on, what we really are saying we want to do is basically repeat the first part of the prohibiting language word for word in a noun form after concerning. And my point is that I think we accomplish everything we're required to accomplish more clearly just by not going through that motion. And so if we just cut everything after constitution on line 1 up through governmental entity on line 3, we'd be where we want to be. We would have the single subject expressed, although not as a noun as we talked about before, and we would be accurately conveying what's going on. So that would be my first choice. That's beyond even what we did last time, because it gets rid of the in connection therewith language. But I think it's better without that language if we're going to go this direction. If we're not going to go this direction, I think you're better off essentially just repeating the main action as a noun after concerning and then just starting all over and listing everything, which is sort of what we had it there, but we try to paraphrase the main action. And I would just, if we're going to do that, I'd get rid of cause and leave it. Otherwise, I'd do this. I mean, I'd get rid of just and leave it as cause. Otherwise, I'd do this.
And again, my preference is, being the traditionalist, is to adopt the latter approach that Mr. Domenico just suggested. And I guess one other last defense for that, and maybe this is in the form of a question for Mr. Carton. My recollection is there's some suggestion in the statute that we follow the rules employed by the General Assembly, although I don't have the language in front of me, so I might be misstating that. But in general, we have tried to set titles like the General Assembly sets titles for bills. So that's just a related concern that I have as we, if we start as a regular thing, not following the convention of saying concerning something and in connection therewith doing something. But it's just based on my belief that that's a departure from the way the General Assembly normally sets titles, which also is under a single subject requirement.
Maybe they should start following our lead.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd like to try and advance the ball here, and I think that Mr. Domenico has, as always, has ably articulated the basis for his desire to be a revolutionary here in connection with crafting these titles. And in all seriousness, I think that there's a lot there. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to go ahead and the just cause for action against an employee, in my mind, striking just doesn't address any of my concerns as far as that particular phrase goes. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to move that the staff draft be modified, and I think it would behoove us to get the proponent's take on this, to say concerning is to strike just cause for action against an employee by an employer and insert a prohibition on the discharge or suspension of an employee unless the employer has first established just cause, comma, and in connection therewith, and then dropping down to defining just cause. And vote that motion up or down. And if that motion fails, then I would propose going back to the language of the staff draft and work with that. That would be my motion.
Concerning a prohibition, et cetera, is that correct?
Right.
I can live with that. I think that's fine. I know Mr. Domenico might be concerned about that. When you say just about this, it doesn't necessarily tell you that it's doing that, that it's prohibiting. But
yeah, I mean that's the concern I have with doing it that way is you give an impression that the measure is about this prohibition, but what it's actually doing is defining just cause and not implementing this requirement, that the requirement somehow is just what it's about. And maybe that's a misreading of how an average person would read it, but and it seems like a little bit less of a problem in this one, frankly, just because of I guess how it's worded and what it does, than in the last one where I really would have been concerned if we had done that. This one is a little bit less of a problem, so I might like to see it and just make sure, but I don't know.
Mr. Gruskin?
let me see if I can maybe pose yet one more alternative so that all you bomb throwers can find some common ground. What if it was an amendment to the Colorado Constitution requiring an employer to establish just cause for discharging or suspending an employee? That has the action that I think Mr. Domenico seeks, and it encapsulates that main prohibition clause. Mr. Hobbs, my recollection is yours, which is that the board defaulted to action against an employee because of the concern about using a conjunction in the single subject description. But I agree with the board. I think that while the existing single subject statement is adequate, that its functional equivalent could be used without doing damage either to our potential court appeal or voter understanding. So I don't know if that's helpful, but I'm sensitive to wanting to push that phrase up to the I also don't have a problem with the prohibiting language or the prohibition on. Right? That's as close to the head of the pin as I can get.
In a nutshell, I mean, I still want to state a subject and not an ing thing and describe an action, but and so I'd rather not depart from that. I don't mind actually in the expression of single subject, in this case, saying discharge or suspension, if that helps. I think that is a single thing. I'm more comfortable with that, even though I was trying to avoid it. You know, it's like driving while impaired or intoxicated. I can't remember what the other phrase is. It's really all one thing, even though there may not be one phrase for it. But you know, again, I may be now in a minority, but I just would rather say concerning a thing, a subject, and then saying if it's not clear what the measure does about that thing, then practically starting over again. I think that's been our custom, but saying what it does on about that subject. That's my position anyway.
I think your suggestion is a good one. I think that I'm going to, for the time being, stick with my motion. Got a second? Maybe not.
And again, what was yours? Do what we have, or
yeah,
no, would it, or not?
It would amend the staff draft as it appears on the screen, starting on line one. Instead of just cause for action against an employee by an employer, it would say a prohibition against a prohibition on the discharge or suspension of an employee unless the employer has first established just cause. And it would strike just cause for action, and you'd go right to and in connection therewith. There would be a comma after cause, and it would be and in connection therewith. And then on line 4 and 5, Ceci, you'd strike everything up to defining on line 5. That's my motion.
I'm okay with that.
If we weren't also striking lines 4 and 5, I'd be okay with it. I think it's a step back as it is.
And so you would want to repeat it in 4 and 5?
Yeah, if we're going to stick with this structure, I think after in connection therewith should probably include everything that is being done in this measure.
And I appreciate that, but I guess...
I'll probably wake up tomorrow and think I'm being silly, but it just seems to me that this has the potential for suggesting that, well, we're doing an amendment that can... I mean, the whole point, right, of using this structure is to state in the first part just what it's about, and then after in connection therewith tell people how you're addressing that issue. This to me suggests, or could suggest to some people, that all right, we've got a prohibition, and in connection therewith we're voting on an amendment that defines just cause and does these other things, but the prohibition is somewhere else. And as I said, I'm a little less concerned about it in this case because the definition of just cause really is the most important thing, and it's right there. On the other hand, I think it really is material to what's going on here that we're creating a new prohibition. And this just says we're doing something concerning a prohibition that to me isn't quite clear enough, especially given that the reason we do this is to tell people subject is here after concerning, action is here after in connection therewith. So this way just doesn't tell them that they're taking action on creating a prohibition. That's the concern I have. And I can understand why you think that it's clear enough. And even if it's not clear, what's really important, I guess, is how you define just cause. But I think it's a step. I think this goes in the right direction in the sense of trying to not needlessly repeat ourselves, but by trying to do that while at the same time fitting it into our traditional structure, I think is a mistake. And if we're gonna mess around with the subject action structure, we should just get rid of the concerning, just get rid of the structure entirely and say an amendment to the Colorado Constitution prohibiting, and just say what we're doing, because I do think that the subject is subsumed within the prohibition in this case. But I think it's very, I think it's material to people to know that they're creating the prohibition, that the action being taken includes prohibiting something. That's all.
Well, and I, you know, it seems to me that this type of thing has occurred a lot, where I think we've faced this issue of whether, you know, when we put into the expression of single subject words like concerning a prohibition or concerning a requirement, or, you know, I wish I had better examples, it's not, it really truly isn't clear to a reader. For example, if we say concerning a requirement that, the reader just would have no idea whether there's an existing requirement that's being modified or a new requirement that's being imposed. And in those circumstances where I think it's really not clear, then to me it's better to express a short single subject and then elaborate what it's doing about that, concerning the something and requiring whatever the measure does. In this case, I do think it's probably clear enough, and I could be wrong about this, but I think the reader can probably correctly understand this to be that this is creating a prohibition. You know, if I'm wrong about that, then I'd certainly, of course, would rather go back to prior form and just say concerning, you know, just cause or whatever, and then elaborate on what the measure does, if it's not clear that from what we have on the screen right now that this is creating a prohibition. But we have different points of view about this.
Yeah, and just to be clear, I think I would be willing to, if in the instead of concerning a prohibition, if we just said prohibiting the discharge, that would be essentially, I think, what we did on 75. If we don't do that, I think this creates the kind of potential confusion, especially if you think about the way the question, the submission clause, would look. Maybe a little bit easier to see my concern, where it will just say, shall there be an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning a prohibition? I mean, what people would really be voting on, I'm not sure that the title and the submission clause especially tells them they're voting to create a prohibition. So, I guess, if people aren't willing to fully join me in revolution, I'm not going to go halfway. This is sort of where I am, I guess.
Well, I think it's probably, it ends up being up to Mr. Carton as the swing vote here, whatever the preference is. I do want to avoid the ing, but, you know, so that's what I like about this, is at least it's concerning a subject. But
right, and I know that the board, well, two members of the board earlier didn't include concerning, and frankly, you know, if we were going to eliminate concerning, then I'd probably want to go back and revisit Mr. Gruskin's suggestion about requiring instead of this prohibition language. But I think that given the fact that the proponents have indicated they don't have an objection to it as stated, is that accurate?
This
right.
It think we're all pretty close. I guess I'm sensitive to Mr. Domenico's point about how best to make it appear to voters that they are moving the ball, as opposed to that this is kind of the general topic for their consideration. And, you know, I actually don't know that the Supreme Court's ever said that that was a substantial enough reason to find a title to be misleading. But I'm sensitive to that for purposes of making sure that petitions are circulated correctly and ballots are cast correctly. And so I would be fine with, you know, moving that to show action. I just remind you that the prohibition language actually, the word prohibit doesn't exist in number 76. What the measure really does is impose a new requirement that the employer establish just cause before taking the employment action. So, obviously the mirror image of that is the prohibition, but even the prohibition language is a little bit of a analytical. So, I guess I come back to language concerning the requirement that employers first establish just cause before discharging or suspending an employee. And that indicates a change in the status quo, and I think that's where I hear you kind of talking about. Sorry, I didn't really ask the question.
Can I amend my motion?
Yes, sir.
I would amend the language to provide in line one concerning a requirement that, what was the language in a requirement that an employer
first established, is that?
I'm just taking the language that you've already got. That an employer first establish just cause before discharging or suspending an employee.
Requirement that an employer first establish just cause before strike prohibition on the next three words. Or was it before the discharge or suspension of employer? Or was it discharging?
Or before discharging or suspending.
Okay. Before discharging or suspending strike of and then after employees strike, everything up until the next strike, unless the employer has first established just cause. That's my motion.
Is there any objection to that? And we haven't, if there is, then we might do a separate vote. We haven't done any votes on any of the changes yet, but we could sever this and do a separate vote if there's an objection. But
well, I actually don't have a problem with that particular change. The problem I have is combining that change with eliminating any reference after in connection therewith to imposing this requirement or imposing a prohibition, which I think are actually the exact flip sides of the exact same coin. I think a prohibition is prohibiting you from doing something unless you've already done something is the same thing as requiring you to do the first thing before you do something else. So, but that said,
It's not the change to that that I really object to. It's the change to that combined with eliminating any reference later on to imposing this requirement or prohibition. So,
well, should we take a separate vote on this proposal?
I guess it depends what the proposal.
Well, Mr. Carton made the suggested changes to lines 1 and 2, so I guess for the sake of discussion, if we want to do this one separately, I'll second that motion. So again, I think the effect is just to the expression of the single subject. So they would read, concerning a requirement that an employer first establish just cause before discharging or suspending an employee, his proposal.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
So we'll,
as far as it goes.
Then we'll, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. And then are there other suggested changes? The other changes that Ms. Gomez has made to the title we could adopt as a separate motion, but I want to first find out if there's other suggested changes.
Maybe it probably doesn't make any difference, but I agree with all of the changes except for the one I expressed, which is essentially deleting the language that's on lines 4 and 5 on the screen about prohibiting. If we left in something along those lines, I'd be fine with everything else. So I don't know if you want to separate out a motion to delete that clause, just so I can be on the record as voting that way, because otherwise I guess I'm going to have to vote against the entire rest of the changes, which I don't know that it matters or not, but that's where I am.
Okay, so let's see if I've got that right. Let me move then that we delete the language in the staff draft that says prohibiting the discharge or suspension of an employee by an employer unless the employer has first established just cause. So if I move that, and if there's a second, then I think we could get a recorded vote on that. And I'll move that deletion because I think it now is repetitious for what we've now said is the single subject.
Second, you're moving the deletion. Well, it's
just that one deletion.
Yeah, as it. Okay.
And from the staff, the original staff draft.
Undelete it, which would
you're
be
right.
What Mr. Domenico wants to do.
I think that's right.
Okay.
I mean, at this point, we have not yet deleted it from the staff draft.
Okay.
We've marked
you're
it.
You're moving to delete it, right?
That's
and
correct.
Mr. Carton has seconded that motion to delete it. Okay.
That's correct.
All right.
Is there any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That motion carries 2-1. I guess I'll go ahead and move the remaining changes to the staff draft that Ms. Gomez has marked on the screen that I think reflect Mr. Gruskin's suggestions, as well as at least one other that there seemed to be consensus about it. I think it was, for example, dropping that last clause from the staff draft or anything else that we have marked as changes on the staff draft. I'll move those changes now.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Are there any other changes to the staff draft? If not, I'll move that we adopt the staff draft as amended.
Second.
And let me read that into the record. Mr. Domenico is going to take over the controls so that we can see how those
all get deleted.
Oh, look at under where it's final, about the final, on the left, very far left-hand side, the last, the
is
bottom.
Good enough?
Oh, yeah, well, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not paying attention that you've already solved the problem.
Well, I don't know.
Let's try it out. So with those changes, then, the staff or the title would read as follows. An amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning a requirement that an employer first establish just cause before discharging or suspending an employee, in connection therewith, and I think I can't tell if there's a comma there, but I hope there is. Defining, quote, just cause, end quote, to mean specified types of employee misconduct and substandard job performance, comma, the filing of bankruptcy by the employer, comma, or documented economic circumstances that directly and adversely affect the employer, semicolon, requiring an employer to provide written documentation to an employee who has been discharged or suspended, semicolon, exempting from the just cause requirement business entities that employ fewer than 20 employees, comma, nonprofit organizations that employ fewer than 1,000 employees, comma, and governmental entities, semicolon, allowing an employee who believes he was discharged or suspended without just cause to file a civil action in the state in-state district court, semicolon, requiring the court, comma, in its discretion, comma, to award reinstatement in the employee's former job, comma, back wages, comma, damages, comma, or any combination thereof, comma, or semicolon, excuse me, and allowing the court to award attorney's fees to the prevailing party, period. With the same changes to be made in the ballot title and submission clause, I do wonder if we ought to change in line 9, where it says, the beginning of line 9, if we ought to say he or she. It says allowing an employee who believes he was discharged. I suggest saying he or she.
That's what the measure uses, he or she. I don't know I forget what the legislative convention is.
I guess I'll move that additional change. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. So I think we're back to the main motion then, to adopt the staff draft with those changes and the same changes in the ballot title and submission clause.
Should we ask the proponents if they plan to circulate both this and 62, or just one or the other, as you did with the previous one, just in case we need to make any reference to that?
I said, although, you know, where we have similar titles, sometimes it can be misleading or confusing. I'm not sure. Again, I haven't compared them, but just in case the question could arise, it's helpful if the proponents indicate they're only planning to circulate one version.
Certainly the intent of the proponents only to circulate one version, I can guarantee you that if there were two versions circulated, only one would be submitted.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Then if there's no other discussion as to the motion to adopt then the titles as amended, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no.
No.
That motion carries 2-1. That completes action on number 76, and that concludes our agenda for today. The time is 4:36 p.m. Thank you all.
So, in the French Revolution, it was they started out all on the same side, right? And then the Jacobins started killing off the sans-culottes, right? Yeah. So I'm kind of the Jacobin.